Ready, Lena?
I'm ready.
Me too.
Good. Let's do it.
Hey, Lena.
Hey, Liz.
Hey, everyone.
Hey. I always do that crazy, like, hey.
I know, but it's like from a story that is from my uncle. That I won't get into now. It's like a cartoon. And yeah. Anyway, how are you doing, Lena?
I'm good. I'm so well rested.
How well rested are you? That sounds like a joke. Like it's going to be a joke, but you really are.
Yeah, I went to bed 6 p.m. last night.
Party on a Friday night.
True story. I was so exhausted. Mm-hmm. And I had a major buzz, to be honest.
At 6 p.m.
At 6 p.m.
Yeah.
More about that a little bit later. And then I woke up at 8 a.m.
Yeah. You slept a lot.
I slept so many hours, and I really needed it. So, I am feeling pretty good and well-rested. So, how are you doing, Liz?
I'm good. I just hit, like, a little tired while. I've only been awake for, like, however long you have. I guess it's been 45 minutes or so. Maybe an hour we've been awake. I didn't go to sleep at 6 p.m. I made it until 9:30.
Wow.
I know. I made it till 9:30 and didn't fall asleep.
What did you do?
I Netflixed a little.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did you watch? Friends?
Yeah, I think I did. I just... Well, first I spent like 10 minutes scrolling through Netflix trying to find something. I was like, oh, I don't want a movie and I'm not going to begin a new series and blah, blah, blah. So I was like, old favorite, just put some Friends on just so I have something because I was exhausted, but I wasn't ready to go to bed because I knew that I would wake up at like 2 a.m. or something. Mm-hmm. So I pushed through. I did wake up at 2 a.m., but that's because of the cat. And then you decided that you just randomly woke up while I was awake and you sat up in bed and were like, yes. And you were like, I need water.
I was like in the desert.
I know. And then I said, I have some right here.
You know, that was so amazing. You know, when you wake up from being so thirsty and then someone right beside you just hands you a glass of water.
Always take a glass of water to bed when you've been drinking. That's what I do because I know that I wake up thirsty, but I saved you. Then we went back to sleep.
Yeah. Thank you so much for saving me.
No problem.
So the reason why I went to bed at 6 p.m. and Liz went to bed at 9:30 was because we went to a beer and whiskey festival here in town.
Woohoo!
Yeah, so much fun. And since we got to know the brewmaster at Brygget Omkvarn, we got special tickets where all the press and...
Press passes.
Yeah. So we went before they actually opened, mm-hmm. and it was free to drink too, because apparently you pay an entrance fee usually, and then you buy coupons,
right.
And I think it's regulated so people don't get crazy drunk.
Right.
But
we didn't have that.
No.
Because we were there before the general public.
Yeah, and they open at 12, mm-hmm. and ended at 3,
mm-hmm.
and then at 3 it was open for the public.
Yes.
And then you had to pay. We were there from 12 till 5:30. I mean, and then constant, oh my gosh, it's so embarrassing to talk about like how, we usually don't drink that much, to be honest, but, or to have like a major buzz, it's like go out and have a beer or two, but that's it. But we made so many connections, actually.
We did. I mean, we held it together. It's not like we were walking around drunk.
No.
Because we were connecting with people and filming and taking pictures.
And we tried a beer that we helped out brewing.
Yes.
So now we can put together that video. So that will be coming out soon.
Yeah.
So that is why I went to bed at 6 p.m.
Yeah, we were exhausted just because, and it wasn't only because of drinking beer and tasting beer and everything, because it was tastes of beer, but it was also just the whole, like, experience of it. Yeah,
and being social, and I won a t-shirt.
Oh my gosh. Let's not give too much info, because we'll have, like, videos of this.
True.
Because I filmed you.
That is so awesome. Okay, don't forget to check the video once it's out. Yeah. We'll let you know, too.
Mm-hmm. Today's theme is about quitting your job, and it is inspired by the brewmaster from the brewery that we interviewed in our last podcast, and some of the other people that we met yesterday. So it's inspired by our kind of like beer brewing week or so that we've had. We started thinking and just being so amazed by the stories that we heard, like little bits of stories, especially from Per Erik, because we heard his in detail, of people who have jobs, you know, just regular jobs, and then they have a hobby and they enjoy doing something, and then they're like, no, I'm going to leave my regular 9-to-5 and I want to follow my dream. And they quit their job on a whim, perhaps, maybe, but also thinking through, but they decide to actually just take that risk and take that jump to do something that may be a little bit different, that may be quite risky or sound crazy to other people, but they do it anyway because it's the thing that they care about.
Mm-hmm.
And hearing those stories has inspired us so much.
Yeah, and we can also relate because we've both done the same thing.
We have done
in different ways. Mm-hmm. So we thought that we could share a little bit of our stories, how we ended up where we are right now, mm-hmm. and what made us perhaps break through or quit or change
whatever
we were doing. So Ilina started studying to become a social worker mm-hmm. in 2006 and finished in 2010. And then I worked as a social worker. Loved it. I had an amazing job. I loved them so much. And while I was working as a social worker, I was doing a lot of other things that was related to that. For example, if we were having an event, I was fixing a poster or informative brochures and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And that was so much fun.
Mm-hmm. And so, I actually remember coming and hanging with you one day, and you were working on something, and you actually said the sentence, if I could do this all the time.
Yeah.
This is what, I love doing this.
Yeah, because it's been a hobby of mine to do stuff in Photoshop and mm-hmm. just be creative in a digital world.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't that I disliked my job, but at that time, too, when I was working as a social worker, I was getting really sick in my anorexia. So I had to take a break from work, and I was in the hospital for some months, and then I was on the sick leave. And also, my job as a social worker, it was on a limited time, because in Sweden, when you have a baby, you get a pretty long period of maternity leave.
Mm-hmm.
So I had my job for a year, and then we were trying to extend it a little bit and stuff like that. So my job was actually coming up to an end, and then I got sick. Mm-hmm. So while I was being sick, I ended up not having a job because they didn't have, unfortunately, enough money to hire me like a third person, because it was a pretty small business.
I totally forgot about the fact that when your job stopped, and then when you were mm-hmm. sick, you didn't have a job.
Right. They were working so hard, though.
Yeah, yeah.
With the politicians. Mm-hmm. And they wanted me back, and I wanted to come back. But it wasn't possible mm-hmm. at that point.
Right.
So then it was up to me to decide. I was still pretty sick.
Mm-hmm.
So either look for other social worker jobs, or perhaps do something different. And at that point in my life, I wasn't ready to apply for jobs that were going to be like 100% because I wasn't well enough. So we started discussing whether we should perhaps move to the States or stay in Sweden. Mm-hmm. And we decided that I needed a change.
Yeah.
A major change because I was so stuck in my eating disorder. So we decided, why not apply to go to school in the States and actually study what I love to do? Mm-hmm. So we started looking up schools in North Carolina and mostly in Asheville area, and there was a school there, mm-hmm. University of North Carolina at Asheville. And then we looked into what do I need to do in order to apply there. I had to do an English test, which was a horrible test. That's another story. I'm not going to get into that, but it was pretty tough. Mm-hmm. And it costs money. So if you fail, you had to do it again and pay a lot of money mm-hmm. again. And it was in Stockholm. So we went up a weekend. I studied a lot before that. Mm-hmm. And then I did it and I passed it. Mm-hmm. So then I could apply. And then it was the whole process of applying to a school in the States, which is not like you do it in Sweden. In Sweden, it's so easy. I mean, you have to have the grades or the test scores that are like good enough and stuff like that. But whoa, in the States, you have to like write a letter like about yourself and how you are good as a person. And that is pretty cool because then it gives you the chance to actually get in, even if you perhaps don't have all the grades. Mm-hmm. But you have other qualities that are like, yeah, we want this student, you know. So it's, I think it's really cool. But it was a shock for me to apply to a school in the States because it was so different. So I did apply, mm-hmm. and I got in. Yeah. Then once we knew that, it was for me to apply for a student visa, and we were going to sell all our stuff. So we had a weekend mm-hmm. in our apartment where it was basically an open door, and people could come and buy our stuff.
Mm-hmm. We had like a weekend garage sale.
Yeah.
In our apartment. It was crazy.
And everything that we didn't sell, we kept a few things. Mm-hmm. But the things that we didn't sell, we gave away to charity.
Yes.
Then we moved mm-hmm. To the States.
And you studied.
I studied. Oh, Lordy.
What did you study?
Thank you. I studied new media.
Which is?
Which is, it can go in so many different ways. You can study more like motion graphics, animation, or you more graphic design, or you could choose like which path you wanted. Mm-hmm. And I studied a little bit of everything to see, figure out like exactly what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And then I decided I wanted to go more into graphic design. Mm-hmm. But I did a lot of motion graphics too. I studied. And I've studied quite a lot in Sweden. Nothing can be compared to what it is to study in the States. Mm-hmm. However, I have to say that it's such passion that you meet in schools in the States. Mm-hmm. Students have, first of all, like, worked so hard to even get in.
Yeah.
So once you're in, you're like, whoa, this is like, what do you call it? Like,
I don't know what you're gonna say.
Like, I made it. I'm so proud. You see it as a privilege that you got an in.
Yeah.
And then the professors are so caring about you in a completely different way. You have such contact with the professors. And you have a professor that's your mentor, which is like a professor within that major mm-hmm. new media that I was studying field. So you can always turn to him or her. And it's really cool. I loved it. And I studied so hard.
You did.
Oh my gosh. But I mean, I wanted good grades and I got top grades. So, mm-hmm. but then I ended up hearing that my brother and his friend's business going to grow and they were going to hire more people. So I started selling myself in that and they decided to hire me. Mm-hmm. So 1.5 years into my 4-year mm-hmm. Program, I actually got a job as a graphic designer in Sweden. Mm-hmm. So we moved back to yeah. Sweden because of my job opportunity. And then we saved money for me not having to study the whole 4-year program. And
right.
So we moved back to Sweden, and I started working as a graphic designer.
Yeah.
So I reached my goal with changing my career, and unfortunately I got sick again, and I'm still like working my way through that. So I'm not working full time right now, but I'm still like hired there. I love it, and it feels like I have really chosen the career that I wanted. I can use my creativity like at work.
Yeah. So your work has become, I mean, your work is... came from your hobby.
Yes.
So, it of course, it feels like going to work, but sometimes it doesn't feel like work because...
Right. And the other day I was sitting and looking through other businesses' websites to see what we like and dislike with some, so we know what we're going to use or not use. And, I mean, some websites were so beautiful. It was like I was drooling because it was so cool.
That's awesome.
And that is perhaps a little bit nerdy, but... it was just so much fun. So that's my story about changing career. Speaking about, because you might think that, but you studied for so many years to become a social worker and now you're not using that. But that's not true. Because social work, the subjects that you're studying there, it is so useful in everyday life. And, of course, if you study something else that perhaps are not as useful in everyday life, you might feel like, oh, I spent all this money and time and I'm not using it. But I do believe that even though you're studying something for so long and then you're not working within that field, you still have so much experience and knowledge that you can still use. It's, I can, if I meet a client now, I can use some of the strategies that I studied as a social worker, because it is like being with people. And also not to only focus on the subjects that you were studying, I also met amazing people.
Right.
They are still my friends.
Yeah.
And I have that community still in my life, which I'm really, really thankful for. So just because you're leaving something and getting into something else, you might get still a lot of things out of the first school or experience. So, Liz, now when I have talked so much about my experience, I thought that perhaps you can share, because you have also changed your life and career and work. Would you like to tell us a little bit about your experience?
Yeah, I've changed things multiple times. And just to kind of think about some of the things that you've said now, is I'm 100% agreeing with you. And I think that, I mean, that's just what life is. We carry all of our experiences with us and we learn from them what we're willing to learn. So there are, I've had some conversations with a coworker that I have now about mistakes or blessings in disguise or whatever. And I've actually had this conversation with students as well recently about making mistakes in life and having regrets and whatever it is, whether it's job related or something else. I personally don't buy into thinking that I've made a mistake or I have regrets, because if I open myself up to learn from it, then I'm always turning something that the action or the thing that happened may have been negative or a mistake gone wrong. But if I open myself up to learn from it, then I've changed that into a positive thing. So that's how I see things. But as for my job, we can go back to 2007.
This is around the same time.
I know, it's like 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And it's 10 years since you and I met. So it is around, my life changed a lot back then, but I was in the middle of going through some therapy. I had a therapist, a marriage counselor. Sadly, I went to the marriage counselor on my own, so my ex-husband was not with me, but in that process, I started thinking about what it is that I really wanted and needed in my life. And I had been working, and I was working at that point, at a church in the mountains of North Carolina. And I loved my job. I loved it to pieces. I had been there 7 years or something, or was starting 8 years. So I'd been there for a while, and I absolutely loved my job, as I said. But I had all of this other stuff going on in my mind as to what I wanted with my life and was I happy with my life. I tend to be someone in the past who was like, well, it's not so great right now, but in like a year, then I'll be happy because I'll then be done with my education as like a minister and I'll be more happy with my ex-husband, blah, blah, blah. So I was always looking forward and I was hoping for things instead of looking at the reality. But this therapist helped me to stop and look at reality. And when I did that, I realized I am not happy and I have not been happy. I was happy with my job, but I wanted so much more out of life. Mm-hmm. And I was 32 at the time. And I was like, no, I want more. And there were many, many, many factors besides just that, that led to my ex-husband and I deciding to separate. And I decided to take back my life. And along with that, I thought, well, now's my chance. I can move to Europe. But I need to quit my job in order to do that. So
how come that you wanted to move to Europe?
Because I had visited, well, a couple of times, but I had had a trip years before, like 12 years before. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I needed to live in Europe in my life at one point. Mm-hmm. When I was 20 years old, it was my first time in Europe, and I knew. So it had always been something that I'd wanted to do, and I never followed through with it. I was like, I'm 32 now, and I'm gonna get a divorce. I'm in the process of that. So I just finished my master's degree, and I was like, it's time. I'm just gonna go out on my own. I don't care what people think of me. I'm just gonna bite the bullet and do it. So I told my job that I was going to work for the year out, as in the academic year. So I would be there for 8 more months, and then I was leaving. And I was going to go to Denmark, because I had some contacts there. And my family was unhappy. People didn't really understand. Sometimes I didn't understand, and I thought, because I had a lot of time, I had like 8 months to process it all, and there were days where I thought, am I crazy? What am I doing? You know, this is ridiculous. I don't have a job. I don't have a place to live. What am I doing? But I was working on trying to get a job, and there was a church in Denmark that wanted to, as similar to your story in some ways, that wanted to try and find a way to hire me. So we had open conversations, so I wasn't gonna just backpack around Europe or anything. I had like a city and I was gonna go there and I was hoping to get some work out of that. So I was trying to have a little bit of security and stability, and it was in a church, so it actually wasn't a change in jobs. Mm-hmm. But it was a change in life. Turns out that they weren't able to hire me. There wasn't enough money for that. But I sold my house and sold my things and gave away my things anyway, and I packed a bag and went to Denmark. You and I were there together, Lena, but that's a different story. Then I went back to the States. Anyways, I have, and I was living there and I worked as a teacher because at this point I was in a relationship with Lena and the church that I worked for, not that specific church, but as a global denomination, did not and still doesn't, will recognize same-sex relationships. And mm-hmm. So it was, especially back then in 2008 and 9, it was a little bit iffy if I would be able to work in a church because I was in a relationship with a woman. So I was like, well, screw that. I'll go back and work as a teacher, which is my original bachelor's degree as a special education teacher. And I worked as that for years before I was in a church. So I went back to that. And that was really nice and really good. And then we moved to Sweden, and I worked in a church in Sweden. And then when we moved back to Asheville, when Lena was going to study, I knew inside of myself, I cannot work in a church because that's not where I belong right now. And I don't want to work in a school. It's not where I belong right now. So I was very lucky to be able to have an opportunity to try and freelance. And that's where I started just writing. I mean, I started knocking down the door of a newspaper in Asheville and saying, I know that you want me. I'm writing about coffee. It'll be great. I can like write columns for you. Eventually they caved and gave me a column to write. So I did. I wrote about fika, the Swedish tradition of having coffee, I suppose. And that blossomed into a bunch of different things in Asheville, which was really awesome. And it really helped me to understand that I have this passion for writing and for inspiring and for creating. And it turns out that these are things that I'd been doing all along. So when we moved back to Sweden, I knew I needed to get a job that was going to pay money. And I started creating or like updating my resume and everything. And while I was doing that, that's when I made that connection. Whether I have been a teacher or a minister in a church or a writer for a newspaper, the thread and a blogger, because now I've been blogging for almost 7 years, the thread is inspiration. Like, mm-hmm. That's what I want to do. I want to inspire people in whatever way. And that could be through pictures or words or talking or listening. So as long as I am doing that core thing that I find important in my life, like the thing that I feel like I have to give, the way that I do it has changed. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The way that I've done it concretely, like to get money, has been different and will be different. Right now I'm working in a school again, but not as a teacher, as a mentor, kind of like a guidance counselor, which is fabulous. But that might change, and it probably will change because that's how I roll.
And also, you're not working full-time with that, so you have actually a day every week where you can do whatever.
Exactly, which is really nice, and that feeds that creativity. So for me, the risk has been to discover what it is that I'm most passionate about and then to figure out how to do it. And how mm-hmm. I do that may look different at different times throughout my life. But it is to read the situation of the day. And it's so worth it. All of the risk and the fear and the like, oh my gosh, how is this going to work out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so worth it to have a feeling that you're doing something that you love.
Yeah. So I do have a question because there might be some people listening out there
mm-hmm.
who are like, but I mean, when Lena was studying, not working
mm-hmm.
to get money, and then you were freelancing,
mm-hmm.
how could you make it work with like paying rent and to actually live? It is the practicality versus like the dreams, sort of. Mm-hmm. It can clash.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you figure things out like that? How did we do it? We were fortunate to actually, to be honest, have the money to do it.
Yeah.
But people might not have that.
Right.
So how do you do it? And that is something tricky.
And it is.
And something that we need to consider.
Yeah, to be realistic. Absolutely. That period of time, we were extremely fortunate to have that luxury so we could live like that. And now, however, we both have jobs, which is amazing. And even though you're on the sick list or sick leave and work some,
mm-hmm.
And I work almost full time, but not. I work 4 days a week instead of five. We have money, but I still have dreams and things that I want to do.
Yeah.
That are like ultimate goals. So for me right now, I can only speak for myself for right now.
Yeah.
The way that I do that now, because ultimately I want to like write books and take pictures and mm-hmm. just do stuff on my own time.
Right.
So I have to try to do that in my own time while I have my job at the same time.
Yeah.
And as long as I have a job that I love, which I do love my job where I go get money,
mm-hmm.
you know, that feels like it's giving me something, that job actually inspires me. So
yeah.
When I have time, then I can work on these other things.
If you have a dream of something that you would like to do full time, you have to start a little bit in mm-hmm. the beginning while perhaps working at your job that you're not completely happy, perhaps,
mm-hmm.
about. So you will be crazy busy for a period of time, but hopefully you can work less at the regular job and increase the hobby / dream mm-hmm. so it becomes more of a business-y, like, I mean, business as that you can actually live off of it some. So you have to go through a period where it's a lot, and once it will balance it out mm-hmm. and you can increase that dream.
At the same time, I need to say something that I deeply believe.
Okay.
And that is, everything will work out in one way or another. So I work really hard to try and balance being practical and just taking that leap of faith and a risk. So there is something to be said for, I mean, sometimes, I'm not saying for all of us to go in and hand in our notice and quit our jobs, but sometimes there is a time in life when we do that, you know. I think that there is a time that we can, that we need to just take a risk and not be afraid, because things will work out. And if there are people who have dreams to, like, backpack around Europe or whatever, of course we need to practically plan for things. But at the same time, we only live one life, so I don't want to spend 20 years planning for something and not living the life that I want to live.
Yeah.
So it is a hard balance.
It is.
But I'm determined to live the life that I want to live and make decisions so that I can do that without sacrificing and just staying stuck in something because I'm afraid to make a change.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Yeah.
That was a lot of us sharing our stories, but I think it is interesting to look back and see the path, slash paths that we've taken and where we are today. And I just agree with myself. I think that we can move on to challenges. Don't you think
Speaking of taking risks and everything, maybe it is all about the tiny little challenges that change our life, you know, one day at a time. So, Lena, what is your challenge this
week? My challenge this week is that on Tuesday, it is Fat Tuesday.
Fat Tuesday!
In Sweden, we eat a specific kind of pastry that's called semla. It's a bun with whipped cream and what do you call the other thing?
Oh gosh, what is it called? Almond paste.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's delicious, but it's special.
It is really special. But in the States, you eat pancakes. American pancakes.
Yes.
So my challenge this week is to make American pancakes on Fat Tuesday.
That's awesome. I'm very excited.
It's a challenge for me because it is a lot of things that comes with that. That's going against my eating disorder. That's my challenge.
Cool.
Yeah. And I actually really, really love American pancakes.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to it. In the States, on pancake... on Fat Tuesday.
Pancake Day.
Pancake Tuesday. there are a lot of churches, since I worked in a church, that have, like, fundraisers on Tuesday night. And they make pancakes and invite people to come in and raise money.
Oh, I didn't know that. What's your challenge, Liz?
My challenge is actually also food-related. I'm going to, this weekend, clean the fridge. Clean out some things that we have that are old and then just spruce it up a little bit so it looks better. I'm going to explore some recipes. I downloaded an app, which I haven't told you about yet, which is really cool with, like, recipes and stuff.
I wonder if we have downloaded the same app.
I don't know, but we'll see.
Yeah.
there are a lot out there. And then I'm going to make a plan, and then I'm going to make a list, like a grocery list, that I'm going to buy the food. And then I'm going to stick to the freaking plan for a week. But felt like, well, also in my newsletter that I write once a week and on my blog, my theme for this coming week is actually about feeding your body and your soul. So it is food related and interesting with, like, Fat Tuesday and Ash Wednesday / Lent coming up. It just kind of happened that it all fell this week. There was no planning in that. So that's my challenge, is to make a plan, stick with it, and eat good food. It's going to be good stuff that we eat. We hope that you guys have enjoyed listening to our stories, and we're so thankful for the people that inspire us to take chances and take risks. And we wish you the courage and the bravery to step out and take whatever kind of risk you may be thinking about. It's totally worth it. Wishing you all the best, sending you lots of love. Bye.
Bye.